Thank you so much, Faith, and welcome. This is really exciting for me to be able to see your faces because I think I've taught 5 weeks of daily meditation here on Sangha Live, but this is my first time on Sunday Sangha, which those of you who are familiar with both will know that it's a different format. So on the daily meditations, I don't get to see your faces. So it's a real pleasure. And if any of you are feeling shy with your camera off, but would feel inspired to turn it on to, enjoy together this sense of being able to see each other's presence just a little bit, as well as feel each other's presence. And I also welcome you, as many of you are doing, to say hi in the chat. Another thing that's very exciting for me about being teaching at this time in the UK is that I'm able to be present with some of the community who live in the States. So it's beautiful to see you arriving here from all over the world. And so as you settle in, I just invite you to feel into this, incredible shared space that we create. And we do create it mutually together by recognizing our presence here, not just as the little boxes on the screen or even names on the chat or participant names, but just really feel into for a moment, maybe as you arrive, the extraordinary truths of, a great number of us coming together. Beyond space, but also beyond time, because many of you are joining this through the recording at some other time, and you are equally present with us and equally welcome. So just feeling yourself here and feeling each other and breathing with this sense of welcoming both yourself and welcoming each other. And arriving here where you are. And inviting that welcome for where all of us are. So we already offer and create and participate in this field of Sangha. So I know that the many teachers, as Faith said, offer these Sunday Sangha sessions with guiding a meditation first and then some Dharma talk after and time for questions. I'm going to speak a little bit first. It might not be, there might be more words that come after, but I want to give a bit of context for the way that I'm going to be guiding you in meditation, today. And so, the title, I think, or the theme of our time together is Sangha, You're Not Alone. And I wrote in the description that we would be drawing on the what's often described as the most foundational teachings of the Buddha, that of dependent origination. To point towards what I feel to be an even deeper expression of Sangha that we can start to feel into and draw nourishment from. Even deeper than this maybe more typical experience of Sangha as being the community of, like-minded, awakening hearts and minds. So I will unpack that with you a little first. This principle of dependent origination was one that the Buddha discovered in the most extraordinary way that he was able to do through immediate moment to moment, incredibly subtle and profound observation. And it was the observation that everything always arises dependent on something else. So on one level, just as simple as that, something arises dependent on something else. But when we really lean into that and unpack its implications, we see that what it's saying is that something, anything that arises in this moment has arisen dependent on something else, which also means that whatever is arising in this moment will influence something else, which suggests that everything is arising dependent on something else, which, if we continue that thread, suggests that everything is influencing and being influenced either directly or indirectly by everything else. So what it's pointing towards, this insight, is pointing towards the truth of a relational universe. It was a truth that was also observed and shared 2,500 years later through very different observational methods. And we know about this now from quantum physics. Describes the very much the same thing, that everything exists in relationship with everything else. To the extent that in quantum physics, it's suggested that not only is everything in relationship, but everything even exists as a relationship. There are no separate entities. Nothing exists as separate, discrete entities. So we're entering this realm that really shatters all of the assumptions that our ego mind builds up for very good reasons, so that we can operate as and experience ourselves as separate entities. But the reason this is so powerful within the context of practice is that there's another piece that starts to emerge through direct experience, which is when we allow ourselves to come close to something, to anything. The only way we can come close to any experience is by softening our hearts and opening our minds. And a soft heart and an open mind, kind and curious, really means and feels like one that is in alignment with love. And so when, with a soft heart and an open mind, we come close to an experience of this moment, we come into relationship with it. We're able to really receive it. When, on the other hand, our hearts are defended, our minds are caught in judgment, we don't really meet whatever it is that is in front of us or within us, whatever it is that is arising. What we meet are our defenses and judgments. And this experience is one that creates suffering. It's an experience of being defended, controlling, one of demanding and pushing away, holding on to, distracting, experiences that the Buddha referred to as clinging, expressions of clinging. And it hurts. It hurts to live within this illusion of separation. And so we begin to experience that the very pain of suffering is one that calls us to attend. Hey, there's some wall that you've created here. Calls us to come back, to soften the heart, to open the mind, to come back into alignment, to come back into relationship. And so there's another really extraordinary truth that we begin to experience alongside this truth that everything is in relationship, we begin to experience the truth that the vector or the field or the flavor of this relational field is love. We can't participate in it. We can't experience in it unless we open to receive it. And so again, as we continue to land in the enormous implications of this, the potential or the invitation to come into alignment with love, to come into relationship with life, in order to participate in this dance, it allows us to both be incredibly creative and powerful in our participation. And it also allows us to start to receive so profoundly, to start to receive the extent of support and guidance that is always flowing to us from the universe. It doesn't have to be, you know, magical thinking to start to feel really the depth of which just to be here, experiencing this moment through this body, there's an enormous amount of support. And through opening to receive this support in all the different directions, which is what we'll explore together in the meditation practice, through really coming into the body to establish this quality of heart and mind, of kindness and curiosity, and then to turn that soft and subtle attention to our relationship with the earth, to really feel the way the earth holds us in a very alive way, to feel the way the moon and the sun and the planets nourish us and actually guide us through the ways that they tug at the waters of our body and in all sorts of mysterious ways influence in a very profound and yet palpable way. And the more we continue to turn our attention towards being in relationship with each other, with the ways that we both hold and also trigger each other into growing and expanding and feeling safe and loved and growing and expanding and feeling safe and loved. And also, some of us might find that we are able to establish a very palpable relationship in the unseen realms as well, with ancestors who feel present for us, with teachers that may no longer be alive and yet very profoundly and directly still hold and guide us. Perhaps with guides from the spirit realm, protectors, and even our own Buddha nature, our own awakened self, again, beyond space and time, even like we're meeting right now, here, able to support us, able to hold us on this crazy journey that we call life. And with all of this support from below and from above and from all around us, we are also able to start to trust our own relationship with our hearts, with the wisdom of our hearts, with the knowing of our hearts, to be held by our own hearts, to be guided by the light of our own hearts. And in a relational universe, to open to receive this deeper and wider interpretation of Sangha is so important, because the truth of existing in a relational field, existing in relationship, even existing as relationship, also means that what we do matters. It's not only what we receive, but also what we give back. Like our actions send out ripples that are unimaginably deep and wide through space and time. In both the actions of our reactivity and our forgetfulness, as we know and see in the world around us, but also the actions of loving presence. We can't know how, you know, even the smallest action of a smile to someone we pass by on the street, how that might ripple through their hearts and bodies, through their days, through the other people they meet, through our own hearts, bodies, days, the people we meet. And then there's one more aspect of, you know, increasingly opening to the truth of relationality, is that, as some of you, I imagine, have already experienced, we become more and more sensitive to feeling life, to feeling our own feelings, to feeling the feelings of others, to feeling the feelings of the world. And there's the absolute beauty in that. We become more receptive and open to beauty, to aliveness, to joy. And we feel more of the challenging emotions of grief, of anger, of anxiety, fear. And all of these, even challenging emotions, are actually profound teachers in the heart's expansion when we meet them with love. But to do that, as you know, many of you know, asks to do that without falling into these challenging feelings that I think are becoming more and more heightened for many of us these days, as so much continues to unravel within and all around. To meet life without falling into habitual patterns of reactivity, without losing ourselves inside the emotions, without losing ourselves inside the narratives and stories that come up, the reactive actions that we find ourselves doing because we've always done them before. And also to feel these feelings, to meet life without numbing it, suppressing them, without distracting ourselves and disguising them. To really be here again with a soft heart and an open mind. We need support. We need Sangha, both in the traditional sense, but also in the deeper sense that we're exploring today. We need to feel and know how deeply we're held and guided and supported and loved. To be this courageous, and our courage is profoundly needed in these times. So let's practice together. And I would love you all to have a pen and paper just to hand so that you don't have to go looking for it at the end of our practice. I'll just be inviting you into some little journaling type exercise right at the end, but it's going to be kind of still in meditation. So just if you need to go and get that, if you don't already have it to hand, then there's a moment now that you can find that and have it nearby. And if you want to shift your position and stretch and stand up for a moment, or if you prefer to be lying down, if you find a seated position uncomfortable, or if you're very sleepy, it might be better for you to be standing up. Find a position that works for you. A pen and paper nearby. Then you could just take a few Stretches or sighs to wake up the body a little. Squeeze and stretch the skin and muscles of your face. Take an out breath like that. Really make a sound if that's possible for you where you are. And release your jaw. So a few times like that, a soft, slow breath in through your nose and a sigh or a sound out through your mouth. It feels helpful to continue these slightly longer exhalations every now and again. You could also just very gently blow out through your mouth like you're hardly fluttering the flame of a candle. It just helps us to slow down the exhalation. It also helps to bring the out-breath and the in-breath into the belly. So if you've been anxious or very busy, tense, often our breathing goes quite high into the upper chest and our attention gets quite locked into the head. So these longer exhalations, whether it's making an ah sound or an om sound or just blowing out gently through the mouth like you're fluttering the flame of a candle, help us feel how, as we breathe out, we slowly engage the lower belly muscles to really press all the air out. And then before we breathe in or as we breathe in, completely relax those muscles. So do you really feel how the belly engages when we breathe out and then relaxes? Can feel that more easily with these longer breaths. And then it might be that as you come to relax into a more easeful or unforced breathing rhythm, you might feel a bit more freedom and release in the belly area. And however it is that you are feeling in your body, just invite you to take your attention there, taking your attention into your body now. Feeling the parts of your body that feel tight or contracted, allowing any small movements or large movements, if you like. Inviting your breathing to breathe into places of contraction or collapse. Feeling the sensations of your body. And meeting them with kindness. With curiosity. establishing this inner atmosphere of kindness and curiosity. That feels quite alien to you. You might even just give yourself a hug. And offer yourself these words that some of you have heard me share before, because they just so often come to me. They're the words that were written to Khalil Gibran, the poet, by his beloved, Mary Haskell. So she wrote them to him, but let these words be from you to yourself. Nothing you become will disappoint me. I have no preconception that I'd like to see you be or do. I have no desire to foresee you, only to discover you. You cannot disappoint me. And we breathe this attitude of kindness and curiosity to include the parts of us that feel judging and disappointed, resistant, doubting. Remembering that this is a practice. You probably have lots of practice with the doubt and the judgment, with the inner critic. So we're practicing kindness, curiosity, here in the body. Here in the breathing body. Here in this breathing body resting on this earth. You might like to once again take a few longer exhalations. And this time, sending your kind and curious attention down and down to where your body is in contact with the earth, with the ground, to the places of pressure. And imagine that the energy of your kind and curious attention continues from your body into the ground, growing roots that continue to grow down and down, connecting you beyond the floor, the foundations, through the rich, alive soil. Connecting you to the aliveness beneath you. And connecting you through the soil as these roots continue to grow deeper into the bedrock of this earth. Feeling the energy of aliveness and solidity and presence. The breathing body of our home. And allowing yourself to be held here, to really be held. Allowing the truth that you belong here. On this great green, grey, blue lap. That your breathing body can regulate with her breathing body. You can call forward into your heart and mind any of the places on this precious earth where you have come into relationship, where you have felt yourself and truly seen and loved and held, and where you in turn have really seen and loved and held the natural world around you. Call this place forward to be present here, or these places, if there's more than one. And ask to be held here and now. In deepest gratitude. And so taking another, if you like, soft, slow breath in through your nose and out through your mouth, a sigh or a sound. So you continue to feel yourself rooted, belonging, held on the lap of Mother Earth. And turn your attention to the very real presence The moon, this full moon for some of us, and of the sun, whether or not it's out shining, it's shining somewhere on this earth. Whether or not you can see the moon, it's showing its face to many on this earth. The sun and the moon are always here, nourishing us, illuminating us. Imagine yourself connecting through beams of light from the crown of your head. To the sun, to the moon, to the countless planets and stars in this vast universe where nothing exists in isolation, where everything is in relationship with everything else. And allow yourself to be nourished, illuminated, guided. Allow yourself to receive what's already here. You like, you take another soft, slow breath in through your nose and breathe out with a sigh or a sound. Feeling yourself held from below, nourished and illuminated, guided from above. And then sense a sacred circle around you. A circle that is also filled with this same kindness and curiosity that you're cultivating. A circle of love. And invite into this circle your human sangha, those who love you and are loved by you. Your teachers, friends, lovers. Invite into the presence of any benevolent ancestors. As they celebrate you and cheer you on in this noble work, this noble journey that we offer to all beings everywhere. Invite in the presence, or at least the possibility of guides who are with you every step of the way, holding you, guiding you, whispering into your ear if you're willing to hear. Imagine stepping forward into the circle, to come and stand right in front of you and look into your eyes, your own awakened self, your Buddha nature, already completely free. Looking into your eyes with so much love and gratitude. The journey of your own becoming, remembrance and return, calling you home. Allow yourself to receive. To receive this love, support, holding, nourishment, guidance. Withdrawing up from the earth through the roots into your heart and pouring down from the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets into your heart. Being received in from all around. Into your heart. And breathe into your heart. Into this part of you that's utterly unique and yet connected to everything, everywhere. Trust in your heart to hold you and guide you, as it's constantly replenished from below and above and all around. receiving the love that it is, and giving back the love that it is. Remembering the love that it is. Receiving the love that you are with each inhalation. Giving back the love that you are with each exhalation. Remembering the love that you are with each and every breath. You are not alone. You're not alone. And you belong here. In a moment, I'm going to invite you to open to receive a message. It doesn't matter where it comes from, any of these directions, from your own heart, from the earth, from the stars, the sun, the moon, from your loved ones, your guides, your ancestors, your awakened self. It doesn't matter where it comes from. You'll know that it's coming from love. And in a moment, when I ring the bell, I invite you to stay as much in this meditative space and simply to write down, like a transcriber, the words that come through you, without even reading them. I'll give you a few minutes in a moment to do that. And when I ring the bell again, I just invite you to come back into a few moments of meditation. So this is literally an exercise of not knowing what's going to come, transcribing the words. Remember, this isn't a practice of thinking. If you notice yourself getting caught in the mind, just come back to the meditation. Let yourself be surprised by whatever words come out through your hand. And so if you're still writing, and if you want to continue for longer, you're welcome to. If this is a good cue for you to just close your eyes again and come back into the body. And letting yourself do that and feel. Feel your body here on this earth. In relationship with the willingness to receive, so that we are capacitated to respond, with the willingness to come into alignment with love, so that we can respond from love. So, friends, we have some space and time now to share any experiences you'd like to share. Maybe I should say first, for those of you who haven't read now, That would be something I would invite you to do first, like read the words now, really receive them. So read the words that you transcribed and read them as if they were being read to you. Noticing what comes up in your body. Noticing whenever there's some kind of resistance, so the mind goes into some kind of story. Notice of, well, is this the way you normally speak to yourself? Perhaps it is. Perhaps it's not. And if not, that's something to notice. So I welcome you to share, and might be some of you might want to share what it was that came through you. Or you might have questions, or you might have comments that you'd like to share. While you're, it would be beautiful to take this opportunity of you know, being on a Zoom format to, for you to raise your hand and come on screen so we can share together if that's something you feel willing to do. Otherwise, as Faith said, there's also the option of writing a question in the chat if that's something you prefer. Faith, are you able to bring Isla? Is it Isla? You'll have to unmute yourself, Isla. Unmute one more time. That's it.
It's Ilsa. It's a Viking name.
It's Elsa. My daughter's called Elsa, but it's spelt with an E with her.
I'm with an I from the Viking horde. But anyhow, why I wanted to raise my hand is because when you gave the prompt, I didn't expect to hear anything. I didn't expect anything to come. I just sat quietly and I thought, oh my, you know, is that going to happen? And then I had this, I am that in my heart. I am that I am, that non-material. I am that. And it was a lovely correspondence to watching your realized self in meditation. I never did that before. So I want to thank you.
Beautiful. I am that in my heart.
Imagine that coming into my mind ear. What a surprise. Thank you.
Such a pleasure. And that's exactly the experience I've had with this as well. And sometimes nothing comes, you know, so for those of you, nothing comes, that's fine too. But I love the times where it's just such a surprise and yet also with a very deep knowing. And so I sense that from you as well. Like it's not a random surprise. It's a surprise that I didn't think that. And yet this has somehow come to me and there's such a deep wisdom in it. And so, yeah, I really invite you, Elsa, to feel and receive that message in your heart and to feel it, because that's our process and journey of embodiment, to receive the love, the support, the guidance, to breathe it in, to embody it. Like, how does this feel to be held and guided in this way? They're beautiful. Thank you. You need to unmute yourself, Jane. There you go.
You just let me. Okay. I just want to thank you. That was really, really lovely. And I just wanted to say, I don't always hear words, but I see visions. Mm. And what I saw, which was interesting, was wings on me.
Yeah.
And I'm recovering from surgery.
Yeah.
I'm not taking any drugs. So that was kind of,
yeah,
need to see these wings on me of flight.
Yeah.
And the words that came were peaceful, calm. And I saw, or image, this image came of the waves of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And when I, that came up, the word that came out, which was, I was writing in the dark. So it was hard to read what I wrote, but I was like, it was the weirdest thing. All of a sudden I just was like, the word thirsty. And I find that so interesting because it's like thirsty for what? You know, the gut is telling me something. And I, when I say this now to you, what I hear, thirsty to heal and thirsty for being able to get back on my the horse I ride and
right.
to be able to move. I had a new hip and femur. I have rods. I slipped on the ice. And I think that's so interesting. It's not thirsty, drink thirsty. It was really thirsty for living my life the way I used to live it. You know, that just, I know I'll get there. And I'm just like, can't wait. And then the last two were gratitude and love. So thank you for today. And I will tell you, it came at a really nice time because I just had a very challenging conversation with my mother, who is not dealing with my situation very well. She's 93, and is very worried and doesn't live anywhere near me. But with that being said, it's like I came in here with being at an 8, and I'm now like maybe at a 3. You know, it's like, whew, okay, back into my body. Thank you.
So, perfect.
It's and beautiful love listening the, to your. Go
I,
ahead.
I love the wings. I sent that to me. The wings and the waves and the thirsty just created a whole imagery of like, of energy. You know, love's power, love's aliveness. That vivacious,
that liberation. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. So feel them as well. Like continue. As I was saying to Elsa before, continue to feel your wings, continue to, you know,
oh, I will.
Be with that image, maybe paint it, draw it, whatever, you know, grow it inside you, the image of the waves and the words, and so that we carry what's already here in you. You're bringing that, you're honoring it, you're coming into relationship with it, so it becomes part of your sangha. Beautiful.
Right. Stay well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. See, Carol wrote that I'd like to experience this meditation again. Please, is it available to me somewhere? Very deep and beautiful. Thank you. Yes, all the offerings on Sangha Live are recorded and then shared on the Sangha Live library. So you'll be able to do it every day. There's a message from Marlon. I've recently learned about betrayal about betrayal, my marriage, and will now go through divorce. I've been practicing for some time, but found my feelings to occupy my mind beyond what I could handle and find myself giving up, especially due to fear of what's to come. I'm glad to feel some love and kindness entering again. Thank you for sharing that, Marlon. And I really invite you to connect in all the ways possible to this love and kindness, to this support, to this sense of sangha in whatever way it comes to you, so that you can have the courage and the capacity and the strength and the presence, the anchor, to feel these painful feelings that are coming up, to really feel them with love, to feel the anger, to feel the grief, to feel the betrayal, without falling into them, without losing yourself inside the narratives, and without suppressing them. So it's that being in alignment with love and meeting what's here with love that allows the emotions themselves to move through the body so they don't get trapped in our system. And it also allows us to come to respond from a place of love that is no longer either contracted in vengeance or collapsed in, you know, depression or lack of self-belief. So these practices, you know, some of you might have come to experience sweetness and a sense of being held and joy in this space, but really they're here equally to hold and nourish and guide us for all of the challenges that we inevitably go through in different ways in life. I'm seeing some of your messages here. To force is to create pain. To soften is to create presence. Do not cut yourself off from your own supply. From Emily, beautiful. Such wisdom. Such wisdom. A scary warning from Lauren. Felt very real. I am, said the wind. I am, said the tree, the river, the wind, the geese, the barking dog. I am, I said, I am the tree, the wind, the river, and the geese. We are one, arising together. So beautiful. Just reading some of these messages. The beautiful poem I read at the beginning, I will write it down. And so we can attach it on the recording. It can be there at the beginning. I will just say it again now, though, so maybe you can just write it down yourself. So it was from an excerpt from a poem written by Mary Haskell to her beloved. They weren't actually lovers, but they had this very deep love. Caligo Brand, she wrote, "Nothing you become will disappoint me. I have no preconception that I'd like to see you be or do. I have no desire to foresee you, only to discover you. You cannot disappoint me." So some guidance from PB, who got the word smooth, then allow, then wonder, and is asking, do I have any guidance? Because at the moment, life isn't feeling very smooth. It would make more sense if allow and wonder came before smooth. Grateful for any guidance. I can reflect with you, but I feel the most powerful thing when we receive something is to really sit with it ourselves, and also to ask the same place it came from, for more clarity, for more guidance. It's certainly, I think a lot of people who have received messages aren't necessarily experiencing that in their lives in this moment. So to receive the word smooth quite likely suggests that our lives aren't very smooth at the moment. And really, this is such an important core of the practice, actually, that it's worth expanding on a little, that with these suggestions of meeting this moment with love and with any permutation or expression of love that we can find, so kindness, curiosity, smoothness, gentleness, ease, awe, wonder, it's not that we need to feel any of those things, because most likely what we're feeling is something very different. It's meeting the roughness with a sense of smoothness in your own heart and mind. It's meeting the contracted parts, our judge, our critic, with kindness, with curiosity. And we can, the place that we can meet what's arising is here in the body. It's very slippery in the mind, as we all know. So when life isn't smooth, one place that we can reflect is, what is our experience of life at the moment? What is our experience of this lack of smoothness, of this roughness in life? And are there ways in which we are being rough in relation to the roughness? Are there ways in which we're meeting what's arising with resistance, with friction? So when there's friction in our lives, unless we meet that friction with more friction, it's only if we meet that friction with more friction that we create heat, that we create the heat of suffering. If there's friction, if there's roughness in our life, and we meet that roughness with love, with smoothness, with presence, with gentleness, with kindness, with care, with curiosity, then it's simply roughness. It's roughness traveling through a smoothness. And so I'm wondering if, I'm trying to remember, yeah, the other words. And then, you know, those other words, allow and wonder, actually go quite beautifully after beginning with smooth, meeting what's rough in life with smoothness, also mean allowing, wondering, kindness and curiosity. So I hope that's helpful. Leah Laya, sorry if I'm not pronouncing your name properly, says, it was wow, amazing. Thank you so much. It truly came as a download from the universe. Never experienced anything like this before. Yeah. And if anybody else has that sense, and equally, if you really didn't have that experience, all of this is welcome. You know, there is no right experience. Watch for the mind that comes in and tries to make too much sense out of it, either way, whether like there was nothing there, and then we create some story about either me or you or me, like, it's not really the right practice for me, or, oh, I'm not good enough, I'm so stuck, or there's some, you know, we experience a download, and then there's like the mind's desire to jump in and try and define and hold on to, and I got to get more of this, rather than, oh yes, I can certainly invite more of this practice into my life and walk it through my days of receiving and receiving in all the ways, just, you know, in every moment, receiving the body, the earth, the moon, the stars, the tree going outside your window, the person in front of you, to come into right relationship again and again and again, and to be willing to receive guidance, to be willing to ask for guidance from the unseen realms, from the universe, as well as from our teachers and Sangha, to be willing to ask to be held. I'll just share with you briefly, because it came to me just then, that part of this experience for me, well, a lot of this experience for me has come from over these last 8 years, attending 4 retreats. Each of them were 2 weeks long in the Andes. Well, 3 of them in the Andes and 1 in the jungle in Peru, which was, you know, being introduced to a culture that is an unbroken lineage of animism, where it's the most natural thing in the world to be in relationship, to be, to receive guidance, to receive support, to offer love and generosity and appreciation, to just be in relationship. So three of these retreats were in the high mountains in this ceremonial relatedness. And one of the two-week retreats was in the jungle with plant medicine, with ayahuasca. And one of the, what just came to me then to share with you is one of the 7 ceremonies that I took part of was this really clear sense of being in relationship with all things, with the universe. But what was so beautiful, it was this very alive universe that was here all around, and this invitation or even instruction that everything in the universe is waiting for me to step into the sacred dance, that the hand is already being reached out to me from the universe, but it's waiting for me to reach out my hand so that the hands can be connected, so that we can come together. There has to be that reciprocity. There has to be the willingness for us to step forwards from softening the heart, opening the mind, to come into relationship. We have this capacity, as we know all too well, in relationship to ourselves and to each other, to this earth. We have the capacity to cut off, to choose, to inhabit and invest in this illusion of separation, of being separate and alone in a cold, dead universe. And all the fear that arises from that, and the grasping and the defending and the distracting from the pain of it. And we have the capacity to choose to step into the sacred dance, to choose to come into relationship, which is, you know, really my intention of sharing this practice today, to show one way, which is just one small way of choosing to come into relationship. So those qualities, just as a reminder, are the qualities of the, or rather the pathway to come into relationship, is first establishing the intention or the attitude of heart and mind, kindness and curiosity, soft heart, open mind, coming into the body. So meeting the body first in that way, the body and the breathing, and then extending out, reaching out our hand to be in relationship with whatever is here, beneath us, above us, all around us, right in front of us. And to be willing to receive, to be willing to not understand, to be willing to not know the answer and be shown the way. There's a really beautiful and profound humility that comes through this practice. So we might have time for one more question, but I would just like to follow that by adding to what Faith said about this beautiful, beautiful practice of Dana that I'm so grateful Sangha Live has had the tenacity and courage to exist on. And all of my work is also offered through Dana, because I feel so strongly about its potential. Its potential to bring this practice into our lives as reciprocity, as a way of realizing that to the same degree, to the very same degree that we open to receive, there's this natural flow of giving back. And to the extent that we give, we also receive. So the breathe to breathe in, we need to breathe out. We need to create a space so that there's room for the to receive the breath. And then in the fullness of the inhalation, we naturally want to breathe out. And so dana is really a way of bringing that into our lives, not only to step into this, the grace of reciprocity, but also the beauty of it, because there's really nothing like the felt experience of respect for another and of kindness and generosity that is so entirely different to what we might feel in our bodies and in our hearts when we participate in a transaction. We're so familiar with our transactional culture being one of separation, which has actually got the opposite feeling in the body of like, how much can I get for how little? This sense of scarcity. So we perpetuate inside ourselves the feeling of scarcity, of there not being enough, of not having enough, of needing to defend from others and accumulate and protect and control. And, you know, I just feel that the world is calling us in these times more than ever, as all of that is rising to the surface to be seen in its destructiveness and ugliness. It's calling us to start to inhabit a new way of being together that comes from exactly this, comes from being in sacred relationship. So, you know, coming together, showing up, practicing is one way that we do this. Bringing the practices into everyday life and everyday moment is another way. And offering our dana, offering our love and support is another way. So thank you in advance for that. And a reminder as well that to do that today, for those of you who are live here, if you want to support me, and if you're watching the recording, you can still support Sangha Live by offering dana through their platform. But if you want to support me, you can do so through the website. So having said, there might be time through my website, sorry. Having said, there might be time to answer one more question. I think we have come up to the end of time, but I would love to stay in touch with you. So please feel free to email me with any other questions or comments that I didn't have a chance to respond to. And I will post in here in the chat other ways to stay in touch. You can, here we go. You can subscribe to my newsletter on Substack, which I put the link in the chat, and you can also find that on my website. And yeah, if you want to come on retreat, as Faith mentioned, I'm teaching a retreat at the Mulanda Shah Martin's Retreat Center in the end of September this year. So I hope we stay in touch. I will be back teaching daily meditations here in June as well, a week in June. And been a pleasure to see you all and to practice with you. So thank you all from your softening hearts and opening minds.